First Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if he meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Here we have instructions of the Church of Corinth about the offering for the saints in Jerusalem that Agabus the prophet talked about a great dearth, great drought, difficult times that was going to be in Judea. And that the saints would gather, get together, and help the believers there in Jerusalem. Now we have some instructions here about this very thing, and I think it would be good to for us to take time to look at this, take time to see what the truths are that God has for us in this passage of Scripture. You know, it's amazing when you think about it. Salvation changes your pocketbook. You know, salvation doesn't change your pocketbook. It didn't change much of anything. You know, you think of almost immediately, we find that in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 4, we find Cain and Abel bringing an offering to the Lord. We find in the Word of God how there was a widow, and she cast into the offering at the temple. She cast in all two mites, which was all her living. We find in the Word of God so many examples. We find of the woman who took the box of spikenard and broke it and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, and spent this great amount of money to anoint the Lord Jesus in preparation for his burial. And we see the scoffer Judas, the unsaved Judas, saying, "Oh, this is a waste of money. We should have not done this, should have sold this spikenard and given to the poor." You don't give to God. That's what he was saying. Of course, the Bible says he kept the bag. He didn't care about Jesus. He kept the bag. He just cared about money for his own person and how he could dip into it. But it's amazing all that the Bible talks about money. And we aren't going to have a whole sermon on money tonight. But you know, the Bible says in Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least, and the context is money, the unrighteous mammon. He that is faithful in that which is least shall be faithful also in that which is much. You know, a lot can be said about a person's soul, about how they use their pocketbook for God, or how that pocketbook has never been converted. It says a whole lot about a person's real relationship to God. But here we have a little passage on giving, and we want to look at some great truths here about giving. First of all, we find that it says this giving, he says, upon the first day of the week. Well, that's important. Upon the first day of the week. You know, what does it tell us? The first day of the week. Well, that's a day of worship, isn't it? That's including in the worship of God. It's talking about this offering is included in the worship of God. Now, we need to be reminded tonight that the first day of the week is an important day. The first day of the week is the day the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? The first day of the week is the day commemorates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 118 is a very important chapter in the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 118 and verse 22, the stone which the builders refused, there's the death of Jesus, is become the headstone of the corner. There's his resurrection. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. What day? The resurrection day. The resurrection day. This is a special day. You know, as I a general statement is the Sabbath is the sign of the first creation, and the Lord's day is the symbol of the new creation. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, what you think about the Lord's day says a lot about your soul and a lot about your relationship to Jesus. Do you know that? What you think about the Lord's day says bring these offerings in on the first day of the week. Now we know in the Bible, Acts chapter 20 tells us that the first day of the week was the day of the week that the disciples met and broke bread. Acts chapter 20, we read about a description about that in Acts chapter 20. And the Bible says in verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. This was the first day of the week. It's the commemoration of the resurrection of Christ. That was the day. He says, bring your offerings on the first day of the week. We could say a lot about that, but I want to just stop here and think about talk about the first day of the week. Turn to Isaiah 58. And here, of course, in Isaiah 58 is the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. God is pronouncing his judgment upon the nation of Israel. And in Isaiah, we get a glimpse at the apostasy of Israel. And we get a glimpse at the attitudes, the actions of the people who are called the people of God in the time of apostasy. And notice what he says. Verse 13. If thou would turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Here's a glimpse into the spirit of the day of apostasy. And God says, if you want revival, something's going to have to happen in your heart. He says, something's going to happen in your heart. And that heart change is going to say, the Sabbath is my delight. Holy unto the Lord. I love it. I love it. That's what it's saying. Yes. We are living a day of apostasy, folks. You know, I hope that this church never, ever changes evening service to 1 o'clock, or even 4 o'clock, or even 5 o'clock. You know what? The world knows what is prime time, don't they? What's prime time? You know what I mean? You TV watchers. What is prime time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. That's exactly right. 7 p.m. is the best of Sunday night. Who should it be given to? God or pleasure? It says a lot about your heart, doesn't it? It says a whole lot about your heart, and it says a whole lot about your church. He says, if you call, and we realize that we're not talking about the Lord's Day isn't the Sabbath, but we're talking about the principle. And I wonder what the Lord says about our Lord's Day. You know? What do we think about the Lord's Day? You know, we got all these other things on our mind. Do we delight to be in the house of God? No, I think that some people they just grin and bear it. But you know, I realize that that's not too easy here, because. You know, it's not short enough to be able to even grin and bear it. But the first day of the week, it is a whole issue of what's primary in your life. What's the most important thing in your life? Is God the center of your heart? You know, I'm a watcher of people. A lot of things I could say, but you know, over the years you watch the person, they come in late, and they're the first one out. Let me tell you, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out they didn't really want to be here. They had something else on their mind. Their heart didn't call the Lord's Day a day of delight. And you know what? I'm preaching Madeline right now, but I tell you what, if the Lord's Day has been replaced with the things of the world, you're in dangerous ground. You're in dangerous ground. Don't let the things of the world replace God and His worship on the Lord's Day. And I realize it's really hard to get young people. You know, young people really, they have to really be in love with Jesus to put aside all the other things of life and think about God on the Lord's Day. And that's exciting to hear about these kids playing church. You know what? They weren't playing church. No way. It was real to them. Amen. There's a lot of people come to church on Sunday and they play church. Because they don't like it. But these kids, that just thrills my soul, doesn't it? So the first day of the week. Now, you know, we have some planning here. You know that? Do you do some planning? I think most God's people do some planning. You know, the first day of the week. Okay? I think that's pretty important. The Bible says what? that you bring the first fruits. Right? Amen? In Proverbs, what does it say? Turn there, Proverbs chapter 3. I think that is all a part of the first day of the week. What's first? God. Honoring God. Giving your tithe. Giving your offerings. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. Well, you know what? I hope you don't go shopping on Sunday. I hope that, you know, you get paid, and maybe you get, I don't know when you get paid, but I hope that the first thing you do with your money is you got it set aside so on the first day of the week, you can give it to God. Isn't that great? That's what it's really that real important picture. First, the first day. Because God is first in our life. And our money is first for God. That's a great truth. Now I want us to think here of this, and let's think a minute here of what it is saying. I think there's another great principle here. We'll try to tie them together. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Okay? How many go to the store? Well, it's not kind of talking about that kind of store. It's talking about the storehouse. You know, the place you store what you have. The storehouse. Now, where do we find that truth, that inference in the Bible? We find it in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 10, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, the curse of not tithing isn't the easiest part about it is the financial curse. You know, you rob God, you're going to have a financial curse. You know, in the Old Testament, if you stole from someone, you had to pay back more than what you stole, didn't you? In some cases, if you stole holy things, it was four times. Well, I tell you what, there's a curse of not tithing. But the biggest curse isn't financial. The biggest curse is the curse on your soul. I can't think of the worst thing that a dad could do to his family than not tithe. We talked this morning about the family needs the blessing of God, doesn't it? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The worst curse of not tithing is the spiritual curse upon your upon your life, and upon your family. The loss of the blessing of God. That's big. That's really big. He says, bring you all the tithes, verse 10, into the storehouse. The storehouse. Well, in the Old Testament, they had the temple. And you know, underneath the temple, they have these huge, huge storehouses, granaries. Huge granaries. These huge storage rooms. There was the storehouse. They brought their tithes. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it says, Let every man lay by him in store. Well, where is the storehouse? Where were they going on the first day of the week? Who was this written to? This is written to the church at Corinth. Amen? And where were they going on the first day of the week? They were worshiping as an assembly. Amen? What is the storehouse in the New Testament? It's the New Testament church. The New Testament church is the storehouse. Jeremiah Evangelistic Association. Joe Schmartz Bible College. No. The local church is the storehouse. You know what? If you don't follow God's plan, well, let's just put it this way, you know. Let's just say you have an account at the bank, and you know, when we bought this property, we had an account at the bank. And every month we put our mortgage payment in that account in Mr. Schultz's name. That's how we did that. Now what if we took our payment and we put it in somebody else's account? Would it have counted that we paid our mortgage? Nope. So we talked this morning about obeying the Bible. What if people say, oh, I'm going to put it somewhere else. I'm not going to put it in the storehouse. Well, that's like, you know, you're not putting it on the right account, are you? Putting it on the wrong account. In fact, I remember Dr. Cheater home in Maranatha, they'd be in different places and they'd take an offering for the college, and he would always say, now don't put your tithe in there. We don't want the curse of your tithe for our Bible college. Your tithe goes to the local church. We don't want to be cursed because you're giving us your tithe. The storehouse. He understood where the storehouse was. In fact, he says, don't give to college. You know, you give to your local church, and your local church can send it off to the college if they vote to do that. The local church is the storehouse. Why is the local church the storehouse? Because the local church is the guardian of God's funds. Local church is the guardian of God's funds. The local church is the guardian to make sure that those funds that belong to God don't support any ministry that is not doctrinally correct. Do you believe that? That's Bible. Local church is the guardian of the storehouse. Why? Because the local church has a doctrinal statement. Local church has a stand on what's right. Churches are supposed to reproduce after their own kind. That's the law of fruit bearing. Now, pretty significant truth. You bring them into the storehouse. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, if a person doesn't really believe in the local church, they don't really believe in the lordship of Jesus, do they? They're kind of doing it their own way. I like what Brother Gilmore said. You know, here's this guy. He would put his money in the offering, and he said, see you in heaven. I like that, don't you? He's putting it in a storehouse. And God's storehouse is the local church. And so, this is a very important principle about our giving. Now, giving is a part of our worship. We're worshiping God on the Lord's day. Our money tells us a lot about our heart. You know, the Lord's day tells us a lot about our heart. Is the Lord's Day a day of pleasure for God? You delight in it, or is it a day for your personal pleasure? I never forget reading in the Milwaukee Journal. Reading Milwaukee Journal. This is a secular writer. And this is what they said. Maybe if you have this heritage, it'll make you think. It said, before 1880, this territory was settled by the New Englanders, Yankees, many of them born again Baptist, under the revival of Harris in Virginia and results of the other revivals that took place in New England. But in the 1880s, you have the Eastern European, Catholic Lutheran immigration. And with that, the secular writer said this: with that, Sunday used to be a day of worship for God. It was, quote unquote, the Sabbath, the whole day. You didn't work, you went to church, day of rest. But when the Catholics, Lutherans immigrated to America, 1880s, Sunday, you go to church in the morning and the rest of the day is a day of pleasure. And that thinking is the thinking of the lost. It's not the thinking of the people of revival and who have met the God of heaven. And that's why many churches today don't have Sunday night. They put their hour in the morning, and the rest of the day is for them. In fact, I remember a lady, they were thinking about sending their son to a Christian school. And they go to a prominent new evangelical church that most of you would know in the area. And it's not a Brook Life church either. And this lady was coming, and she said, you know, I'd like our child to be in the school. And I says, well, you know what? If you're at church, you don't have church on Sunday night, you need to be in church, and so you need to come here. And now she's a saved person, and she says, go to church? We're way too busy to go to church on Sunday night. We wouldn't be able to do that. That's the spirit of apostasy as revealed in Isaiah. First day of the week, the storehouse. Notice it says, as God hath prospered him. Proportionate giving. You know, proportionate giving. The tithe is a portion, isn't it? 10%, right? Amen. As the Lord hath prospered you. Yeah, the New Testament teaches proportionate giving. Now we can go to Hebrews, talk about the tithe, and the Lord made the inference that Abraham gave the tithe to Jesus. So I tell you what, if Abraham gave the tithe to Jesus, we better give the tithe to Jesus. Amen. But he's saying proportionate giving. Now, you know, a lot of people don't believe in proportionate giving. You know, when I was in Sunday school, every Sunday, we had an envelope. And you know, 10 cents for church and 5 cents for missions. Every Sunday. It didn't matter, you know, if I got $50 that week or none. 10 cents for the church. 5 cents for missions. That's not biblical giving, is it? It wasn't proportionate. God says proportionate giving. And of course, the tithe is the word 10%. Amen. 10%. 10% belongs to God. 10% is God's. And 10% isn't after the government, is it? It's the first fruits. It says God gets it first, not last, not second to the U.S. Treasury, and third after the, you know, state of Wisconsin, and third after Social Security, or fourth after Social Security. No, first fruits. The tithe, proportionate giving, taught in the New Testament. Notice, it says that there be no gatherings when I come. I see this teaches that giving is planned. It's planned. It wasn't, okay, we're going to go give so much to Jerusalem, and then the Apostle Paul shows up and, whoa, wait a minute, we better do something here. Now think about that. Have you ever missed your tithe? Oh, you know, I was in Africa for two Sundays. And so I was here on the third Sunday. That's a big check. That's a big check. It really wasn't big, but I didn't give my regular check for two Sundays, and so you put it on there. You know, you miss your tithe. What do most people do if they miss their tithe? I don't know what most people do, but I think a lot of people, if they miss their tithe, you know what they do? I forget it. We'll reduce it a little bit. You know, it looks too big now. I got that money spent. That's why it says on the first day of the week. Every week. Now I realize you might not get paid every week. But, you know, here's the principle. I don't think they had bi-monthly payment back then. But he said on the first day of the week. Why? There'd be no gatherings. There'd be no gatherings. There's not going to be some big emergency now. You know, you plan ahead. You know, what about, are you planning ahead with your life, with your money? I remember a dear member of our church one day. I better not say too much, but, you know, he said, you know, I purposely give so much that it hurts. Because I want my treasure in heaven. And the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I want to keep my heart right with God. And so, most people would think this guy just overloads with money. But I know that's not true. Because he's planning his spiritual future. You ever notice something? And now I don't really understand this, but you know, you notice something? I notice a lot of things. I wonder, do you ever notice? When's the first thing to go in a person's life is their money? You got that figured out? Before someone leaves those doors, they stop giving a long time before that, typically. Long time. And the first thing that goes is missions. First thing goes is missions. I'm just guessing. But the first thing goes is missions. But maybe they have enough fear of God that they don't. You know, they cut down so they're only barely making 10%, you know, 10%, because they don't want the curse of God on them. But usually that goes to. Just watch how it goes. You know, money is directly connected to your heart. You know, you heard about the guy. This is a fun story. You heard about the guy. You know, he had a chance to go to the World Series. You heard about that guy? How many remember the guy? Yeah, he had a chance to go to the World Series. And you know what? He got a chance to go to the World Series, and his favorite team was in the World Series, and there were some, you know, tickets available, and so he calls up and he says, "How much are the tickets?" And they said, $500. He says, "Great, give me two." You know, and he calls up the hotel. You know, the prices are jacked up. You know, and he says, "How much is the rate?" You know, $300 a night. "No problem. Sign me up for 2 nights." You know. And, you know, he has to fly out there, and, you know, he says, "How much is the airfare?" You know, and they says, $450 round trip. "No problem. Okay, I'll send you the check," you know. And so he gets to the stadium, you know, and they're selling the souvenirs, you know, and the booklet for the World Series. And "How much is that program?" $15. "Hey, no problem. Give me three of them," you know. And so then he gets in there and you know, there's somebody selling baseball caps for the World Series. He goes, "Hey, how much are those?" And he says, "Well, $30. "Great, give me three," you know. And so then, you know, he's sitting in the seat, you know, and the hot dog guy comes by, you know, and they says, "How much is the hot dog?" "Oh, $9. "Great, give me four," you know, and et cetera, et cetera, you know, and he's having a great time. And, you know, well, he goes home, you know, and 2 days after he gets home, it's his wife's birthday. And he goes to the shop, the drugstore, wherever cards, Hallmark. And he picks out a real nice card. And he goes to the cash register. And he says, "How much is this card?" The lady says, $15. $15? Give me a break. I'm not paying $15 for a card. And he puts it down and walks out. Exactly. Offering comes by. "I don't have nothing to put in that thing." "Oh, really? How much did you just spend at your favorite whatever?" It wasn't a problem, was it? Did you ever find anybody who complained about how much they spent for a snowmobile? I never found anybody complain about how much they spent for a snowmobile. I never found anybody who complained about how much they spent for some ticket to some event. Never. But you know, the offering plate comes by, you'd think they were in poverty. You know what I'm saying? You'd think they're in poverty. You know? Think about it. What message what are we really thinking? Now this might help you because it's kind of convicting to me. You know, Dr. Cederholm, he said, "Boys, whenever you see that plate go by, you ought to put something in it." I never forgot that. And I feel bad if I don't have at least a dollar in my pocket. I might have given my tithe. I might have given all the other money, but I hate to see that plate go by and not put something in it. We don't have any problem going to the store and buying something. We might have bought that 20 times before. You know what I'm saying? You know, I kind of think that when the plate goes by, you know, we ought to be, you know, what testimony are we saying to the to our visitors or somebody else, and we say, "Don't pass it down this row." Don't pass it down this row. Plan ahead. We ought to plan ahead. What's important? We ought to plan ahead with our money. You know, we ought to plan ahead that we're always going to, you know, come to church with something in our pocket. Of course, you heard about the boy, don't you? Remember the boy? This is years ago. He walked to Sunday school, and his mama said to him, "Son, 2 nickels. One for church, and one for you." And so the boy was playing with one of his nickels, you know, going down the street. He was flipping it up and catching it, and, you know, heads or tails, you know. And so he's going down the street, and he flipped it up, and he missed, and it went down into the manhole, down to the storm sewer. He looked down there, and he said, "Whoops, God. Sorry, there's your nickel." That's kind of like somehow we think, right? Well, I got money to go to Culver's, but I don't have any money to put in an offering plate. Upon the first day of the week, money is a part of worship. Our attitude about the first day of the week. Now you think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. My day of delight. My day of delight. Young person, let me get a hold of your heart right now. Let's tell the truth. Do you come to church anxious to put some money in the offering plate? I dare say there's some of you that used to be like that. I remember some of our kids, they'd get some money for their birthday. And if I didn't say nothing to them, guess where it would be? The whole thing would be in the offering plate. The whole thing. They're so excited about giving to God. You know, it says a lot about your heart, doesn't it? It says who's first. And our understanding of the Word of God, the local church, is the storehouse. It's the storehouse. It's a very important part of God's plan. Those who do submit to God's Word understand that the local church is the storehouse. I realize that's not a truth that believe much out there. How much do we owe to God? A lot more than a tithe, don't we? Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Little lesson. First day of the week. I'm sure there's men. Every Saturday night, they write the check up. I'm sure there's men, ladies, first thing they do, one of the first things they do on Sunday morning after they're ready, or sometime before they're ready, they write out the check. God's important to them. The work of God is important to them. And you know what? God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. But we need our hearts to be right with Him. We need our hearts to be in love with Him. And if our heart is in love with Jesus, and it's going to be shown by our money, one of the ways, we're in trouble, isn't it? We are really, really in trouble. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tonight, for these important truths. And I pray that, Lord, that the truth of your Word would have revealed to some dear souls that this world has robbed their heart of love for Jesus. Perhaps there's some, Lord, that this very truth has showed them that you never had their heart. That maybe they never been converted. And Lord, you think of Zacchaeus. The first thing that got converted was his pocketbook. Lord, I pray that we would be take time to think about what's first in our soul. And I pray that, Lord, that we would not catch the spirit of apostasy of the hour, where you're limited, your time is limited, everything revolves around what we want to do. Lord, I pray your spirit would get a hold of our hearts, that we'd love thee. And our money, attraction, would not take away our heart, would not overrule our heart. I pray she'd work. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes closed. I wonder tonight, very simple truth, but I wonder tonight, start at some basics. Does the Lord have your heart? Do you call the Lord's day a delight? Are you caught up in the spirit of the day in which you'd say, man, I just wish we could get in church and out in an hour? Because you got so many other things to do. Have you lost that love for the Lord and his day? I wonder, has money taken over your heart? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I've never gotten this thing settled about my tithe. Oh, you got plenty of money goes in and out. And you might say you don't have any money to tithe, but that's probably a good reason why, because you've been robbing God. And you say, you know, I can't afford not only to have the curse of not tithing, but I can't afford to have the curse, the spiritual curse on my soul and my family. And you say, I need by faith, I need to start putting God first in my tithe and in my money. And God has spoken to your heart tonight. It won't happen by accident. It only happens on purpose. And the Spirit of God has spoken to you and say, okay, that's it. I'm settling it from this day forward. I'm a tithing Christian. Okay, amen. I see a couple hands. See some more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young people. Okay, others. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Now I'm a tithing Christian. God's got, I'm going to put him first for sure. I'm going to make sure my heart doesn't get taken away at that very elemental thing. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Okay. Okay. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to be a tithing Christian. Amen. Okay. Put those hands down. Lord, thank you for those, Lord, who love you, want to make sure that love isn't robbed. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll help them be wise to realize that whenever their tithe becomes hard to give, there's something wrong with their heart. And I pray that you'll help them to have that insight into life. And I pray, Lord, that those who are learning this lesson would experience what you said in Malachi. Prove me now herewith if I'll not pour you out a blessing. Lord, we realize that sometimes it isn't right away, but in time they'll be able to claim you and your promise that you will always provide their needs. We rejoice in that. May you be glorified in these important decisions in Jesus' name.